This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday. Oh, thank you, Lord. We have made it to the end of this grind of a week, and we are going to have a real good time tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show as we comb through the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, everything else you emailed in. Your questions were awesome, absolutely awesome. We're going to talk about people getting on their phones in life-threatening situations. What's going on with that? Jimmy Kimmel losing his show. Someone wants to know why now. He said all kinds of terrible things. We're going to talk about everything from communism to food to struggle sessions to more. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before we go anywhere else into the rest of the show, I want to get right into this question, because actually it's very similar to a question my wife asked me last night. Jesse, I truly don't understand why Kimmel lost his show. He was only spouting the usual lib garbage about a conservative. Why the big uproar? Says I can use her name. Her name is Roxanne. Okay, so there are a couple different things at play here. A couple different things we have to understand. First, let's get this one out of the way right off the bat. Do you know why I get away with the things we do on this show? You know why we get away with that? Premier lets us do whatever we want. You know why? The real reason? The show's sold out. Sold out. It's growing and sold out. The show is profitable. That's the only reason we get away with what we get away with on this show. Remember this, in the media world, no matter what it is, late night comedy, radio, a podcast, or whatever, it is a business, not a charity. Now, you can love it and be passionate about it, as I am, but it is still a business, period. End of story. Jimmy Kimmel, remember this, you're always competing with other people who are doing what you do. And when you have a designated time slot, like he did on late night TV, you're not just doing a show. You have to be concerned with how much of my audience am I losing to that guy or that guy or that guy? There's only so many eyeballs. There are only so many people watching TV. And you're fighting for a chunk of that pie. And Jimmy Kimmel's chunk of pie was getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It costs millions of dollars a year to produce that show. Millions, well beyond his salary. Remember when we found out Colbert's show cost $150 million a year to produce? If you're going to cost that, you better be bringing in a lot of eyeballs, a lot of money. Jimmy Kimmel's ratings were in the toilet. A lot of that, actually. You want to know one of the main people who got Jimmy Kimmel fired? Gutfeld. Greg Gutfeld, that Fox News guy, sharp, super funny. He has a late night comedy show now. Ratings are through the roof. The eyeballs have gone over there. He's as responsible for it as anything. So that is a huge part of it, and don't lose sight of that. If Jimmy Kimmel's ratings were through the roof and he was number one in that time slot, ABC might have slapped him on the wrist, maybe suspended him for a day, a week or so, but then they would have waited till the heat died down and brought him right back, because that's the stuff you get away with when you're number one. As I've told you before, make sure your talent outweighs your baggage. If you're in a sales office and you're the number one salesman, you can show up late every now and then, a little hungover. Hey, Bob, you smell like whiskey. When you're dead last, you better be there an hour before everybody and have a pot of coffee ready for the boss when he walks in. That's life. It's unfair. So there's that. Don't forget about that. Also, I've talked to you about this before. It's something, a skill you can develop. You don't just have to have it. You can develop it. It's something I beat into the heads of my sons. Taking the temperature of the room. Taking the temperature of the room. My sons love to laugh and joke and goof off with each other. If we have to go to a funeral, we're visiting somebody in the hospital, keep your freaking hands to yourself and the giggling to a minimum. Take the temperature of the room. When Jimmy Kimmel got up and did his lying thing, when he got up and did this.
He hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from.
When he did that, you can get away with that 6 months ago. Honestly, 2 weeks ago, you can get away with that. But in the wake of an assassination that was heard around the world, do you realize they were honoring Charlie Kirk in multiple European parliaments? One of my buddies is in oil, but he's in this international oil, always dealing internationally. And he was talking to me this weekend how shocked he was. First thing, he had a conference call from multiple European countries of like the representative of this oil company, which I won't name. And they were all in Europe asking, hey, what's going on with Charlie Kirk? That's terrible. That the world heard that shot. And then in the wake of the world hearing that shot, the communist response, celebrating it, justifying it, cheering for more, that was heard around the world too. And people are mortified at the Democrat Party right now. Mortified. AOC did this today on the House floor.
The majority proceeded with a resolution that brings great pain to the millions of Americans who endured segregation, Jim Crow, and the legacy of bigotry today. We should be clear about who Charlie Kirk was. A man who believed that the Civil Rights Act that granted Black Americans the right to vote was a mistake. Who, after the violent attack on Paul Pelosi, claimed that, quote, some amazing patriot, unquote, should bail out his brutal assailant. And accused...
last night. People are horrified by Democrats right now. Horrified. And so... taking the temperature of the room means shutting your freaking mouth about Charlie Kirk. You can hate his freaking guts. If you're one of the communists who hate listens to this show, I'm sure you do hate his guts. Fine. Maybe you're even, if you're truly demonic, happy he died. But I get it. Fine. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't shout to your friends on TikTok, put up a video, woo, he's dead, because then you're going to get fired. The world is mortified by Democrats right now, mortified by what they've seen. The demons have shown their true nature in the wake of that assassination, and the world is mortified. And Jimmy Kimmel chose that moment to go tell an outright lie. Take the temperature of the room. That's what's different about that Jimmy Kimmel monologue versus the other ones. His ratings were in the toilet, and he did his thing at a time he should have shut his freaking mouth. And there's also this portion, which we talked a little bit about last night, then we'll move on. You are not allowed to use a public broadcasting platform and knowingly tell a lie. That is not allowed. That is against the rules. You cannot do it. I cannot sit here behind the microphone and say, Bernie Sanders is a convicted rapist. That I can't say that. It's not true. I know it's not true. So I'm not allowed to say it. I am not allowed. But the world of make-believe we've talked about extensively that these people live in. It's more than a bubble. Their entire world is fake. And they believe so many things that are simply not factual. They're not real at all. And it just came bubbling out of him. Or whoever wrote that joke. Remember, he has a team of writers. And what do you think their religion is? They're all communists. He has a team of communist writers. They spend their time watching communist news on communist social media, talking to their communist friends, and in those circles... Well, I read you the chart last night. I don't have it in front of me, but I don't need it. I read you the chart last night. 10% of Democrats believe that the shooter was a left winger. Three times as many believe he was a right winger. A complete world of make-believe. That's where they live, and it gets them into serious trouble. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about people filming things instead of taking action. We have so much to get to tonight. It's going to be a blast. I want you to do something for me here. I want you to think about the most precious home movie or picture you have. Hard copy picture, not one on your phone or something like that. What is the one that means the most to you? Now, I want you to think what it would feel like to have a house fire tonight and that picture be gone forever. Can't ever get it back. Sucks, doesn't it, to think about that? Did you know that I have exactly one picture of my Grandpa Jack? One. Otherwise, he died so young, I wouldn't really know what he looked like. I have one picture. Preserve your memories forever with Legacy Box. They will send you a box. You put those pictures, those home movies in the box. Send it to them. They handle it with the utmost care. They digitize it and send it right back. Then you not only have the hard copy, you have a digital copy that lasts forever. Fire, flood, time, forever. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday as we turn and burn through all your questions. Anyway, we need to get back to those questions in case you're wondering why.
Why are you bringing this up?
Because it's fun. It makes me laugh. Jesse, can you comment about the problem of people just taking a cell phone video of threatening situations without ever calling 911? Okay, so... what I'm about to say is probably going to be very, very hypocritical. And let me explain why it's hypocritical of what I'm about to say. Everybody in this day and age, not everybody, but so many people want to be content creators, pundits of some kind, an Instagram channel, a podcast, a radio show, a TV show, something like that. That's what people want. I am going to be hypocritical with what I'm about to say. Because doing that is what got me this job. I was putting stupid 2-minute videos up on YouTube 7 years ago called Jesse Kelly Brief. They're still there. Just dumb little poorly produced on purpose, stupid little funny videos, and didn't know anyone was ever watching, but the right person saw it and said, "This is really good. Let's give him a shot at a local radio show." That's what led to this. So what I'm about to say is going to be hypocritical, but being able to get popular these days on social media, it's something a lot of people crave. They crave it. You know what I find weird? I find weird all the videos you can watch that are taken from somebody's dashboard. And I've asked people before, do people just drive around recording everything that's in front of their car? And the answer is yes, people do that. People are always trying to get that great video, that great picture, that thing that'll make their Twitter account grow or Instagram account grow or will make them popular or famous. It is, and I'm not trying to be an old fogey, I'm really not, but it's bizarre. And what's wild is my people are generally annoyed with me that I won't do it more. And you know why I don't? Like, they want me to when I'm going out to eat or someplace. They want me to pull out my phone and start recording myself. Hey, I'm here at Marty's Fajitas. I can't make myself do it. I can't do it. I feel like a total dork. I feel like a look at me person. I can't do it, and so I won't do it. So whenever they ask, I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. What, Chris? What? It's not because I'm an old man. It's not because I'm an old man. That's not right. Anyway, I can't do it. But that is, to Chris's point, an older way of thinking. People love to record everything. And especially when something tragic or horrible happens, a car wreck, a plane crash, a shooting, anything, it has become the instinct of many, many Americans to grab their phone first, not to call for help, but to grab it and hit record. I'm putting this on Facebook Live. Is that still a thing, Chris? Facebook, it is a thing. I'm putting this on Facebook Live. It's an instinct for people, and it's bad. It's really, really bad. It's, look, phone addiction is real. And it's not just young people that have phone addiction. There are so many older people I know, and I'm talking retired, old and retired. They'll get in the room, and you know, you picture older people as, oh, I'm sure she's going to be knitting, and he's going to be reading a book while smoking a pipe or something like that. Nope, they're on their cell phones just like your teenager is. They are. It's a problem. Look, I'm not just pointing fingers either. I'm on my phone too much, too. It's a problem. Big problem. Hey, Jesse, if France takes down Haiti next week, I would start getting... Oh, he's talking about the crappiest country in the world tournament. Monday, remember, Monday, France takes on Haiti, and you can vote. It's on the show's Twitter page, at Jesse Kelly Show. You can vote. Let your voice be heard. I think I've only overruled one time. It's one time, right? One time. So let your voice be heard. Anyway, this guy says, if France takes down Haiti next week, I would start getting the Cinderella story vibes. I think we all know North Korea will be on to the semifinals fairly easily. But should they should be extremely worried about France if they get past Haiti. My only concern for France is how worn down they may be after a colossal war with such an awful country. They may have nothing left for the juggernaut North Korea. Looking forward to some more crappy facts. His name is Jason. Yeah, I don't know. I really genuinely don't know who's going to be the winner. I don't. I don't want to taint the voting with my opinion on the matter, but man, North Korea is really bad. But then again, Somalia is like the worst place on earth. But also, Haiti is like the worst place. There's a lot of really, really... Afghanistan! I mean, Afghanistan, I told you last night, I had fully intended, just as kind of a joke with my anti-Italian bias, I had fully intended to have Italy beat Afghanistan and just overrule everybody. But the more I dug into Afghanistan, there was just no way you could do it. That is a horrible freaking place. I don't know who's going to win. Anyway, we are going to talk, and this is going to matter a lot, about struggle sessions. What a struggle session is, because it happens a lot today in America and around the world. Before we do that, hey, Chalk Master, you've been taking chalk for about 3 years, actually over 3 years. I was wondering if you have noticed it made your beer grow more, less, or about the same. I did not notice it, but Ob has pointed out more than once that she thinks my beard has gotten thicker. I have no earthly idea if that's the male vitality stack I take from chalk. I don't know. Maybe that's elevated testosterone level, which would be the male vitality stack. Remember, these are natural herbal supplements that have your T levels up 20% in 90 days. That's a ridiculous amount. 90 days. You're going to feel like a new person with so much more energy. And I don't know whether it has helped my beard or not. I don't know. Ob sure seems to think so. I just think my beard has always looked pretty spectacular. Pretty spectacular. Although I'll admit, it seems to be getting grayer pretty fast. It used to be just a little gray here and a little gray there. Anyway, chalk.com/Jesse, chok.com/Jesse. Let's talk struggle sessions next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Before I get to struggle sessions, I have to talk about something. Jewish producer Chris and me were talking about it during the break because I saw this video of AOC, of course, dumping all over Charlie Kirk today.
The majority proceeded with a resolution that brings great pain to the millions of Americans who endured segregation, Jim Crow, and the legacy of bigotry.
Have you seen how fat she's getting? I don't understand what is happening. The same thing is happening to Jasmine Crockett as well. There was a decent little crop of Democrat dimes in Congress, and they're blowing up. Do they swim around in a gigantic pool of marshmallow cream over there? It's not happening to the Republicans. What is happening over right now? AOC wore practically a garbage bag on the House floor attempting to cover things up, but even that couldn't cover it up. Even that couldn't cover up those bat wings. And I'm saddened. That's it. I just wanted to point that out in the interest of being bipartisan. Now, let's move on. Miami Vice Jesse, could you please explain what a struggle session is and why it is important to the communists? These are fascinating things. They happen differently today, but they still very much happen today. The communist has used these extensively. Mao used them all the time. Pol Pot used them all the time. And here's what a struggle session is, and they can take different forms, meaning it can get different levels of violence. Sometimes a fairly benign version of a struggle session would be if you are a member of the Communist Party or even a normal citizen and you step out of line a little, they will gather people together, a big group, and they will call you in front of the group. You are forced to do this. And they will scream at you about your sins. You will have to acknowledge your sins. And sometimes, this is the most benign version, sometimes it just comes with a little bit of a beating. Maybe they whip you a couple times in front of other people. That's a benign version of a struggle session. They got way more extreme than that lots of the time. They became essentially productions. Guys like Mao, he had professionals who would administer these things. You would go around and do it, and they would drag people. You were invited to attend. Let's say you're in a little village in China. You were, quote, invited to attend, but you need to attend. Trust me. You are dragged out of your home if you're the one who's about to be struggle sessioned. You are pulled up, usually on a stage, most definitely elevated. A huge crowd, everyone they can get in the area, will surround you. And then, again, your sins are read aloud. This oftentimes is accompanied by torture, terrible, terrible torture, you name it, walking on broken glass. I mean, they did the worst things you could possibly imagine. Lots of times, the, quote, sins you committed were written on some sort of a board, and that was they would hang that around your neck. And oftentimes, they would murder you. Now, what is the point of the struggle session? Is the struggle session for the person who, quote, committed the sins? Of course not. The struggle session is for everyone else who's watching it. It is designed to intimidate. That is the point of it. They tear somebody apart. Sometimes, by the way, the person who, quote, committed the sins didn't even do anything wrong. They just wanted to make an example of someone in that area so everyone else in that area would know this is what happens when you complain about your family starving to death. The communists take that as an insult. Look at what just happened to Chin. Chin just got tortured to death. He's still hanging on the stage. I don't want that to happen to me. So, today, it takes a bit of a different form. Today, it's more online, although it does happen in person when they do town halls and such. But Democrats, communists, ruthlessly enforce the things they want enforced. language and everything else. They treat other Democrats like garbage. The second, the millisecond you step out of line, even a little bit, you are so savaged by your fellow communists, oftentimes publicly, that no Democrat wants to step out of line. You do understand that there are Democrats, elected Democrats in this country, who are most definitely still moderates at heart. You realize that? But none of them can act that way. None of them can speak that way. Because the second you try to do so, they just rip you to shreds. I hate John Fetterman, and I will never appreciate the right slobbering all over John Fetterman. But he's actually a wonderful example of this. Fetterman's a big pro-Israel guy. And you know Democrats hate Israel now. It's all free Palestine. I love terrorists, all that other weird crap. But Fetterman didn't go along with that. I mean, I guess I have to give him some credit for that. I still don't like the guy. He still votes against us every time. But Fetterman never went along with that. He said, nah, that's crazy. Fetterman, you can go watch videos of it. Fetterman routinely gets harassed, protested. They're screaming things at him wherever he goes. Other Democrats are doing it. Why? It's a struggle session. They're trying to whip him back into line. No. You're not allowed to say anything outside of what we have decided. Remember that communist language and communist issues, I'll put it that way. Meaning, if you're a Democrat and you don't want men in women's sports, you don't want this tranny stuff in women's sports, that is not allowed. There is a list of rules. We have this take on this issue. This is what we believe about abortion. Kill them all. Let God sort them out. This is what we believe about the border. It should be open. Everyone should come here and no one should be deported. This is what we believe about trannies. That trannies should be everywhere and everything. And you're not allowed. You're not allowed to step out of that. And if you do, they will rip you to shreds as an example to anyone else who might think about it. Remember, Chris, grab that if you can find it. When Joe Biden gave that State of the Union address and said illegal immigrant, I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene was harassing him about something during the State of the Union address, and he actually called an illegal. Now, that's the most benign thing in the history of the world, calling an illegal, that's what they are. It doesn't matter if you can't find it, Chris, but he called him an illegal. Joe Biden was the president of the United States of America when he called that person an illegal. Joe Biden immediately got such a vicious backlash. Oh, go ahead, Chris, go ahead.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between...
Immediately, he had to run to the news and apologize. I shouldn't have said... That was the guy who was supposedly at the top of the Democrat Party. That's what struggle sessions are. And again, remember, the purpose of them is to intimidate everybody into only saying what is approved, never stepping out of line. They love struggle sessions. They have used them endlessly. Pol Pot did them all the freaking time. All right. Let's move on. Before we move on, maybe you have an employee you're ready to move on from, but maybe, just maybe, you're too scared. And what's that fear about? Replacing them. Yeah, that person sucks at his job, but you don't have anyone else, and everyone knows it's too hard to find people these days. Everyone knows it. No, it was too hard to find people. Not with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes it easy. ZipRecruiter makes it easy because they save you time. They have a mountain of qualified people already on their website. Their matching technology will put those people in front of you immediately. You sign up, they put those people in front of you immediately. The most amazing stat I think I've ever heard in my life is that 80% of employers find a good candidate on the first day. You're not 2 years away from finding that good replacement. You can have them tomorrow. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Jesse. when I hear about the weaponization of government, like FBI's Arctic Frost, I find myself asking, if Biden was not in control, who was behind all these directives against law-abiding Americans? Who had the cojones to do this? We'll talk about that next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday member. You can still email the show. We're live here, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So one more word before I get to this, who was behind all this FBI stuff and things like that Biden did. Jewish producer Chris remembered that Politico put out an article not long ago. A couple months ago, right, Chris? A couple months ago, they put out an article. And this think tank known as Third Way, doesn't really matter who they are, so don't worry about that detail. They are circulating a list, or they were, to Democrats saying, please stop using these terms, because these terms, they essentially make us look like freaks. They make us look intolerant. They make us look like freaks. So stop using these terms. Terms like triggering, othering, microaggression, body shaming, subverting norms, systems of oppression, cultural appropriation. I mean, all kinds of the LGBTQIA plus allyship. There were all these terms in there. But why did they put that list out? Because they've pulled these terms and they have found out that normal people find these terms to be weird and they don't like them. But have you heard Democrats stop using these terms? You haven't. They still use all of them. Why? They're not popular. They turn normal people off, because if you use any term other than this, you will be struggle sessioned and they don't want it. All right, back to this guy's question. Jesse, when I hear about the weaponization of government, I find myself asking, if Biden was not in control, who was behind all these directives against law-abiding Americans? We've talked about this a lot, but I realize not everyone listens all the time, and this is probably worth recapping. The president of the United States of America, he has a million responsibilities, but politically, the president of the United States of America has to ignore the crazies in his party, and sometimes he flat out has to put them in check for his own sake, for his own popularity, not about the country. None of these Democrats care about the country. It's not that. But for his own popularity, for his own sake, he has to keep the crazies in check. You understand that if Joe Biden hadn't opened up the border, there is a chance Kamala Harris won. You realize that? Think about that. I'm not saying she would have. She's a terrible candidate, but I promise you that election would have been a lot closer than it was. But that begs the question, why did you open up the border? I mean, wide open. And they went, I mean, it was more than just opening up the gates, remember. They created an app so illegals could essentially invade with a government-sponsored app. They started flying them in from other countries, plane loads of illegals. You woke up one morning and found 14,000 Haitians on the border. They waited till it was dark and just brought them all in. Why? Well, as you know, Joe Biden wasn't running anything. But it wasn't just that. He wasn't strong enough, mentally or physically, to keep the insane monsters in his party in check. Now, let's discuss that aspect of it, because this part is important. Remember that every Democrat or Republican, this applies to any party, but we'll make it about a Democrat congressman today, a Democrat senator, even a Democrat president, didn't start out there, did they? They started out usually as activists of some kind. This applies too to Republicans. Probably they interned somewhere. They worked for this congressman, maybe held a different lower office before they slowly worked it. You know, you work your way up usually to those positions. So think about Democrat staffers now. Who's interning for AOC? Who's the communications director for Jasmine Crockett? How radical do you think their belief system is? Well, those people, once they get into politics, oftentimes stay in politics. And the Democrat ecosystem now is so insanely radicalized, so insanely evil. Well, those people, those are the people who ran the United States of America for 4 years because Joe Biden couldn't. We've named them before. It's Anita Dunn. It's Lisa Monaco. It's Victoria Nuland. It's born and bred America haters, true communists. Anita Dunn loves Mao. Remember we played that audio? Glenn Beck dug it up years ago, got her fired from Obama's White House. She's one of his idols, or he's one of her idols, Mao, the guy who executed like 50, 60 million people. That person ran the United States of America, along with Jill Biden, along with Hunter Biden. Those were the people who operated without breaks. Hey, open up the border. Oh, we have the FBI. I'm mad about Roe versus Wade getting overturned. Go arrest some pastors. That'll be fun. Hey, we should definitely infiltrate the church. And at any moment, a Democrat president should step in and say, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not going to bring in 20 million illegals because then I'm going to lose the next election. That's going too far, too fast. If we don't slow down, I'm going to lose the next election. So stop. We're not doing that. But when you elect or select a president who can do nothing but sit in the corner and drool on himself, then you just get to operate without rules, without boundaries. It's like dad getting passed out drunk in the back of his Corvette and your 14-year-old son gets to drive it. Well, I promise he's not going the speed limit. I guarantee it. There were no brakes on these people. The brakes, the only person who could have put the brakes on these people was Joe Biden, and he couldn't. It really was a toxic stew of disaster for the United States of America. That's the bad news. The good news is it was also a toxic stew of disaster for Democrats. They, without those brakes, without somebody keeping them in check, they just went wild. They can't control themselves. They're too demonic. They went completely wild. And the country, after 4 years of it, was just basically horrified by them. You realize we won the popular vote? That never happens anymore. That's not something that should happen. We won the popular vote. They just got annihilated, wiped out everywhere because they couldn't control their demonic nature. There we are. All right. Let's talk about a couple things here. Let's talk about people who drive slow in the fast lane. We're going to talk about New York City. Should someone drop out so Cuomo can win? We're going to talk about open carry versus concealed carry. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.